Philippians 4, verse 8. I'll start at the top. We're down to the sixth one here. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and then here we are today, whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Let's pray. Lord, may we truly do that. These are things you've given, Lord, that the world cannot give. Good things, good reputation, helpful, healthy diet of truth and righteousness. Well, this is what we're made for. And may we, Lord, find that more and more are eager for the bread of life, which you alone can give. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll take you back a little bit into the 60s, all the way into the 80s. And in those days, men were put in danger by a new product coming to the market. Now, men, you'll remember this because these were very terrifying days. And I remember the warnings of those days. There were commercials constantly portraying the threat to men this product caused. And yet, for some reason, men still were drawn to this product. It's like you tell a child not to do something, makes them want to do it more. So here we are, we men were warned. And the product that came to the market in the 60s was called High Karate Aftershave and Cologne. Now you remember that. High Karate Aftershave and Cologne. And it said, be careful how you use it. Because putting too much on would result in beautiful women attacking you with desire. They would run at you. I saw it in the commercials. They would run at you. You would be running away from them, and you had to use karate to fight them off. There was in every bottle a little paper of how to defend yourself against the onslaught of women coming at you. I had some of that. And let me tell you, it really worked. But I did. I got some of that. And you know why I got some? Because I did not heed the warnings. Because we were, high karate is famous now for building a reputation in something that really and truly was just a cologne or an aftershave or a gift set. So that reputation made daring men figure, you know, as dangerous as it is, I'm going to see what I can do about that. And they would get the high karate and splash it on. Well, there was also PF Flyers. PF Flyers, when I was a child, or, you know, tennis shoes that had an action wedge in the heel. This action wedge, and again, the commercial said this is what happened. The action wedge made you run faster and jump higher. So you know what? I wanted that too. And that was helpful with the high karate because I could run faster and jump higher when all the women were after me. And high karate successfully manufactured a reputation of making a man irresistible. And so based on that, men would think about it. And when they would go to the store, they'd get it. It wasn't the cheapest, there was, I think it was in the middle of the price range. But that was the draw. Now, a reputation is what we're after today. Now, dwelling on whatever is of good repute is the way it's translated in the New American Standard. All of that is consistent with the rest. True, honorable, right, pure, and lovely. And so all of these things are together. That which is true is that which is right. A good reputation is what is honorable. And so all of these things are interchangeable, just giving certain little bits of, you know, detail to the characteristic. And we are to dwell on these things. And that is a command. So let me ask you, have you been dwelling on these things? Because that is also part of warding off care and anxiety. Is that you're thinking on these good things and not on the corruptions around us. And so this is part of keeping our two most impressionable parts in the right place. Our head and our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, the Bible tells us, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is your heart to care for. A lot of people care for their car more than they care for their heart. They care for a house more than they care for a heart. And then also gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind, constant battleground in this world. All the ideologies of the pagan world pressing into your mind, making you think things that are not right, infecting your life, polluting your walk. If you fail to watch your heart and watch your mind, you will be led wherever the world wants to lead you. It's like a man who decides to go without a belt on his pants. And oftentimes, you go without a belt, that's fine. Sometimes you go without a belt, you're walking down the street and suddenly you're tripped by something. And you fall flat on your face because your pants roll down to your ankles and there you went. So you take care of that. You can't say, well, I don't know what I could have done. Maybe my pants just fell. Well, how about the belt? Belt? Well, see, we're given a heart and a mind. We've got to take care of those. So let's look at the dynamics of reputation. When it comes to reputation, there are two basic kinds of reputation. There's the reputation that you put on, and there's the reputation that flows out of you. The first one, reputation that's solely derived from the outward appearance. It is manufactured. The second, the actual reputation, is what comes from who you are. It's what God sees and evaluates. Remember that people stand before Jesus and they tell him what they are. They know him, they love him, they've served him in Matthew 7. He tells them what they are. Because what they are is not what they're saying they are, but what they're practicing. So he says, depart from me, you practice lawlessness. So a manufactured reputation could be good or bad. Some people like to manufacture a bad reputation. They want people to see them as an outlaw. Someone to be afraid of. They're probably compensating for the fact that their fiber of their being isn't that great. They want to put on a show of being bad. I'm bad. Others want a good reputation. But they put it on. They form an image. We're probably today in an age where you can do that more than at any other time in human history. You have Facebook and you can make a profile. I don't use Facebook. I assume that whatever you put in Facebook's profile goes as it is. That if if you're 5 foot three, or you're a man that's 5'3" and weigh about 485 pounds. In your Facebook profile, you can put your 6'3", 210, full of muscles. And you can even find a picture to put up there. And that's the way it'll go. You're making it up. It's manufactured, which is fine as long as you keep it virtual. As soon as you meet the girl that is attracted to that, and she finds that you're not anywhere near like that, that's the problem. Politicians manufacture reputations. Politicians generally don't want to be good. They want to look good. And so they manufacture a populist character, a revered character. When they're running for office, oh, they are for you, the common man, for the common woman. They are for your principles, your wishes. They'll represent you. And as soon as it's over, as soon as the election's done and they're in office, all of that is gone because it was a manufactured reputation. For someone to really represent you, they have to be that person, not pretend that person. I don't know if Ivory soap is still around. I assume it is. Ivory soap was so pure, it floated. I mean, that's why we got it. It's like a boat in a bathtub. Ivory soap. So the elder at Grace Bible Church, she went to the doctor in North Carolina when we were up there. And her child had a little sensitivities to soap. And the doctor said, well, you need to use some really gentle soap. And she said, like ivory? He said, oh, no, not ivory. But the commercials was, it was so pure, so gentle. But he said it wasn't. But that was the reputation. It was manufactured. A manufactured reputation is a veneer, a show. If I manufactured a reputation that I could fly a commercial jet, 747, 757, 767. Well, you know, as soon as the pilots became incapacitated, I'm on the plane. I said, well, you got a reputation that you can fly. Whoa, now that was made up. So it won't work. So that's a manufactured reputation. The devil does that. The devil's manufactured reputation is that he appears as an angel of light. He's for us. He looks pure. Actual reputation, then, is what we actually are. Everybody has a reputation. You youngsters in here, you've lived long enough to have a reputation. You've got a rep. If someone says, what kind of person are you? They will have something to say because you've established a reputation. Now, our reputation is generally weighted on more recent things. If you were dastardly and you became a Christian, well, then your reputation will change. But it may take a little bit of time. If you've done something awful and then you turn from that, your reputation will take a time to recover. But it's weighted generally on the latest thing because it's a practical thing. So an actual reputation is a person's sincere, honest practice and character. Who you are in your life. The estimation of a person's character is how they live their lives. And so that is seen. So however you live your life and that is seen, that's your reputation. Now sometimes people can get that wrong, but if they're with you long enough, they'll kind of figure it out. An actual reputation is done just casually. You don't try to manufacture it, twist it, spin it, turn it. It's just what it is. We have the we watered the grass this past week. We use a sprinkler for that. Well, over time, we've had different kinds of sprinklers. We've had different reputations on sprinklers. Even sprinklers have reputations. Because some sprinklers in the past, they would go around and then they would stop and just show in one direction. So then after doing that a few times, it's got a reputation that you can't depend on it. So you have to get another one or fix that one. Actual reputation cannot fool God. Also doesn't fool much in the way of people. People can figure that out. They'll depend upon you or they will not, based upon your reputation. What you say, what you do, that's your reputation. So let's look at the benefit of a good reputation. Everybody wants a good reputation. Because the concept is how people see you. And you as well, we like people to see us in a good way. If I see someone I haven't seen in a while, and let's say I've gained 80 pounds since I saw them last, and they say to me, "Have you lost weight?" I like that better than the other one. Because we like people to see us in a way that's favorable to us. "Has your brain gotten bigger since I saw you last?" "It sure looks like it." That's another way of saying you don't have as much hair because your brain has popped up. So we like that. Now the translations of this in different versions, here we have of good repute. The New King James says of good report, which means the King James says that too. The ESV says whatever is commendable. And again, this would be in the eyes of God. Or the NIV, the New Living Translation, says whatever is admirable. That's what this word means. And it involves, if we dwell on these things, infusing our mind and heart with good health. Some people talk about, certain foods. That we shouldn't eat. But they're just too good not to eat. But they say, "Oh no, that's bad for you. Don't put that in your body." And I said, my grandmother's funeral, that she didn't eat a healthy meal her entire life. She lived to be 100. But for the mind, it's a worthy comparison. Your gas tank, is it okay to put in your gas tank whatever will fit through that little hole? Water, gas, anything, salt, sugar. It has to be put in with what is supposed to go there. And so that is, with our heart and mind, is most healthy for our life. Kids battle with peer pressure. And this is a real battle for kids. All our kids have to face that. You get with people that they have a dominant personality, and they live this way, and it makes others who want to be accepted, it makes them think that, well, that's the way to be accepted, because that popular person there does that. So they're pressured. Peer pressure. It's a thing parents have to deal with their kids about. Because it's a desire to infect your mind. If you want to learn how to do the most crime, the best place for that is in prison. When you go to prison, you can really learn how to do crime. I'm not speaking from experience. I've heard others say this. Criminals really know how to do crime. When I went to Columbia Bible College, I was right all the time right there in the environment of the Bible. That helped me learn just by that. You go to jail, I'm not saying you should do this, but you'll learn some things about crime you never knew, because it infects what's around us, infects us. News media shapes people's thinking by reporting falsehoods They say things are true that are false, and people listen to it, watch certain channels, and they believe it. Ideologies, philosophies are rampant that are destructive and ungodly because their hearts and minds were not guarded. They did not dwell on what was of good reputation, of good report. Our heart and mind need good, healthy thoughts. There's something in sports called a home field advantage. Home field advantage is not the field is different, necessarily. In football, it's the same measurements. In basketball, it's the same measurements. Home field advantage means you're being encouraged by the crowd. They are for you. And there is an immeasurable, something you can't measure, influence in that, an intangible. That when people are cheering for you, it helps you to do better. So fans influence sporting events. So if we have a good heart and mind, a good healthy thought, it helps us. And when the mind and heart are fed a diet of the disreputable, they're corrupted. You can even eat, and some children do not think this is possible, you can even eat too much candy, too much chocolate. I know. But too much of the wrong thing is corrupting. A good reputation is cleansing to the heart and mind. It's encouraging to the heart and mind. It's instructive to the heart and mind. And it glorifies the Lord. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way." That glorifies the Lord. Our steps, our reputation that is blessed, given to us by the blessing of God, is to his glory. Well, finally, having a good reputation. According to Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Favor of God here. You find that people live by that? Build their reputation on that. I'd much rather have a good name, they say, than money. The substance of a name is not what you're labeled. Does it bother you? Other people have your name. And, you know, I'm Scott. But beyond that, Scott Elwine should be a name that nobody else has. That is too weird of a name. I know of two others. I've told you about one is a felon in Florida. So your name cannot be the stamp that's put upon you on the birth certificate or whatever. Your name is your character. A good name is a good character, and that is more to be chosen, more to be desired than silver and gold, although most people desire silver and gold and will even sacrifice their reputation for silver and gold. And it's the most desirable thing from God's standpoint, but also for our benefit, because our name is what we carry with us beyond this world. It's what we carry with us in this world. It is what we're judged on by the name we have. Great riches will do nothing for us in the judgment. Proverbs 11, verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Sordid gain is a worse predicament than poverty. It's better to be in poverty than sordid gain. Because what survives at the end is not your money, but your character. Well, good reputation requires proper imitation. We're actually, when we imitate people, we're imitating their reputation. Our reputation is built on imitating other reputations. Finding someone to follow that has a good reputation is a way to do. When I was playing golf, learning to play golf, we imitated golf swings all the time. Jack Nicklaus. Oh, yeah, you got to swing like Jack Nicklaus. Others swing like that. You always had someone to mimic. And if they had a good swing, you wanted to mimic the good swing, but not the bad ones. So Ephesians 5:1 says we're to be imitators of God as beloved children. We're to imitate those who imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, I exhort you, Paul says, be imitators of me. And in verse 1 of chapter 11, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. We're to imitate good churches in their deeds. We're not to imitate churches that just because they do this and that or they make numbers. You know, so much copying of churches these days is to get numbers. And they leave the word. Numbers is not what we're about. It shouldn't be, ever. Well, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for you brethren became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. So you're mimicking good behavior in other churches. We are to actively imitate and not be sluggish. Hebrews 6:11 says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. A reputation is built, not manufactured, but it's built by proper imitation of what is good. And we're to do it actively. We're to set ourselves to it. We're not to be sluggish about it. When it's time to eat, we'll be eating in a little while. You're going to be sluggish about it? You're going to kind of head to the table and get diverted on the way and then sit down somewhere and then just lollygag away and forget eating. We're to be diligent. It's not up to others to make us a good reputation. It's for us to make us a good reputation. We should also, Hebrews 13:7, imitate good leaders. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. And finally, we're to imitate what is good. 3 John, verse 11, the beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. So with that, he also says, do not imitate what is evil. So what do we have our world doing? How did LGBTQ, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, all that stuff, how did that take hold? Because people imitated what is evil. And then they press it upon the world, and the world goes, yeah, okay, duh, sluggish me. We'll take it. And so here we are, doing all kinds of stupid stuff for the sake of alternate sexualities and genders. Do not imitate what is evil, for whoever does evil has not seen God. And finally, beware of a shallow reputation. Unregenerate people can have a good reputation. There are politicians who have a good reputation. Again, it may just be show. A businessman may have a good reputation, may do well with his business for reasons of his own. But a good reputation is empty and shallow without the fruit of the Spirit. Our reputation as Christians must flow as fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit's work in our lives is our reputation. And so a good reputation without Christ is just another creation of an image. That we want people to see us not as how God sees us, as wicked and corrupt inside, but as pure and holy outside. If we dwell on that which is good, of good repute, that is corrective and preserving to us. Keeps us from imitating what is evil. So I would say, don't have a high karate reputation that's manufactured. By the way, as I was looking yesterday, you can still buy high karate. I'm just warning you, men, right now, if you think about doing that, what's going to happen? But I think it may not be in America. You might be able to buy it overseas somewhere. But a high karate reputation is a manufactured reputation. What we are to make is what is truly reputable. And our focus and our dwelling must be on what is truly in the eyes of God of good repute. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us a new name as Christians. And you've taken the old stony heart from us, and you've given us a new heart and a new mind. We have the mind of Christ. So Lord, you have put us in position to have a good reputation. I pray we will have that. That we'll watch our steps and keep our heart with all diligence and gird up the loins of our minds. We might present a good reputation for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.